be Johnny, and with me I've got DJD.
Howdy.
Chilling in the back, we've got Craig. We've got a live studio audience this week. That's not normal. And we also do not have Farmer with us this week. That is a little bit normal.
Yeah, our special guest star just is not guesting this week.
Not guesting. And in true Farmer fashion, how long ago did he send that message? He sent us a message like an hour ago, an hour before we start. And it was just like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm not coming. You know, like, so there's that. But what's up, D? How have you been?
I've been all right.
Why don't we talk about the elephant in the room? Because you do sound a little bit different. So why don't we discuss that you are not currently at home, but you are somewhere else. And that's why you sound different.
I'm remote. That can right be the now, amount sure. of details. I mean, yeah, to that be can fair, be the amount though, of details I think like our first season was like every single week I sounded different. So, I mean, I don't know. But that's
true.
Crazy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes, Farmer is just a guest star. Exactly. He got downgraded. Yeah. We can't pay him. You know, we can't pay him anymore. So he's just a special. Should he be a special guest star?
Downgrade him even further to regular guest star.
Regular guest star. D is remote right now. I mean, technically this whole podcast is done remote. It's a bummer that during a NavCon we didn't find a time to do a podcast, because I think that would have been really cool.
That would have been super cool. Yeah.
But it's also a little hard to figure out how to set up. You know what I mean? Like, we brought stuff, well, but it's also, still a little difficult.
I brought two mics.
Oh, you brought two? Jeez.
I brought two mics microphone. And like my rug, and like I was all set up for it, like an extra headphone for monitoring and everything, and I was set, and like my extra monitor, which got damaged in a plane flight, but you know, I mean, things happen, but like I was set, I was ready, and then we just didn't do it. It was fine. It's totally fine. But like that was like an extra 10 pounds of luggage.
I'm such an audio head. When you said you brought a monitor, I assumed you meant like an audio monitor. And then after that it got damaged, I was like, oh, right, like a computer monitor. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Upgrade Craig to talent. You know, Craig, we've talked about him not being consistent, but, you know, he's been pretty consistent for a while now.
Far more consistent than Farmer.
Way more consistent than Farmer. Yeah, Craig has been our rock. We were talking about making some Craig merch. We should do that. Sometime.
We should absolutely do that, yeah. I have a bunch of merch ideas that I want to like run through, but like I haven't gotten around to them yet.
I just made a bunch of merch for my brother and sister-in-law's coffee shop.
Well, that's very cool.
Nothing crazy. I made like, you know, just with their logo on different stuff. It's interesting to, let's talk about business on this podcast.
Sure.
It was interesting looking at like, is it viable to purchase like and make your merch from an online seller, for example, like Threadless or like we use Fourth Wall? Right. Does that make sense to do versus actually working with like a local business? Right. And it was really interesting looking into it because so the pro of working with a business and sourcing it that way is like you have more control over quality, of course.
Yeah.
But the pro of like working through like an online retailer that like prints or makes it, however, is that if you buy it at cost, you don't have to keep a lot of them on hand, which I hadn't thought about. That like normally if you buy like mugs or t-shirts or something, you have to buy a lot of them, right? And then you just have to store them. And the idea is that you just move the product, right? That it doesn't just stay in storage. But if you're not sure you can sell, or like you don't know how well they'll sell, actually buying them from an online retailer is kind of nice, because then you could just buy like 10 mugs, for example.
Exactly. Yes. Like, I mean, like that investment up front can be pretty hefty if you're actually wanting to like get a really good deal and make like a huge profit on items. But like buying at cost, right, and selling at cost, I feel like is actually really good for like small businesses when it comes down to it.
And so if you live in Raleigh, I don't remember if that's North or South Carolina.
That's North.
I'm going to guess. Are you sure Raleigh is North?
Yes. Yeah.
If you live in Raleigh, go check out Quarter Note Coffee. That is my family's business. I would love to go there sometime, but I have not done it. And if you see any merch there, I made it. Hey, and by made, I mean, that's like very kind to say I made it, right? I put their logo that they have done on designs and such, right? It's like when you use ChatGPT to write something and then you're like, oh, I wrote this thing. That's pretty, you know, it's pretty generous to say that you did it.
I feel like that's a little different, though, because at least you're doing like the design work and everything, as opposed to like the AI, like kind of taking care of like everything, you know?
That's true. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I did make it in that way. I made it.
I mean, like, that's what I used to do for the furnace.
No, but I mean, that's what I do too often. I've been busy this week. I recently took over the school my wife works at. I am kind of their social media manager now.
Wow. Congrats. And I that's made. Awesome.
Yeah. Is it? Is it? It's. I'm not getting paid for it right now. So it's. Is it awesome that I'm doing work that normally you could get paid for? It is awesome. I actually enjoy it, right? So I took over their Instagram. And so, Dee, random question. Do you follow Merriam-Webster on Instagram, the dictionary?
I do not, actually, no. I follow them on Twitter, now known as X, but I don't follow them on Instagram.
Formerly Twitter, you know? on Instagram, I'm sure they do the same thing, right? They just post mostly, like, interesting word stuff. And like word of the day kind of things. And they do like, you know, like little cute, did you know this? And all of that examples. We are going to do a similar thing with the school's Instagram account where we're going to post, you know, English word of the day and, you know, the word and the meaning and some examples and like fun stuff with that. And I have started doing that. And I freaked out my boss because it's social media. You can schedule posts, right? So it's like Monday through Friday, you know, this one word a day. I just went ahead and banged out 2 weeks worth of posts, right? Just so I don't have to think about it. Like, boom, there you go. 2 weeks worth. Now I can chill out for a little bit. And she was like, what? You did 2 weeks already? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm already sitting here doing it, right? It took me about an hour to do five. Right. So,
well, and, you know, like, that'll just keep getting
faster and faster the more you get. Like, the more you have a system to do it, it just gets faster, right?
Well, like, yeah, it's about, like, establishing that workflow, right? Like, that workflow, once you have that down, everything gets, like, more efficient from there on out.
And I did that, and The Fox and the Girl, my chill YouTube channel, just released a new video today. I just put it out today. And we have a collaboration with a violinist. And let me tell you, that was incredible. Like, she adds so much to each track. I'm about it. So I've been busy. I've had a busy week, D, but even in the midst of a busy week, I noticed something in the news that I wanted to talk about.
Xbox's new AI thing?
No, I didn't know about that. I wanted to talk about how Marvel Rivals laid off all of their American workers.
Actually, it's worse than that. NetEase is divesting from all of their Western studio stuff.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a big, huge NetEase thing. It's because I looked into this once I saw that, because at first I saw the initial tweets and everything, or posts or whatever. And like, it seemed like, okay, that's kind of weird. Like, then I realized it was a support studio. And their response was kind of weird. NetEase's response, because their response was, for the record, that wasn't the game director. We have only one game director, and his name is, and then he lists the guy's name or whatever. It's like, okay, well, that's kind of weird. Like, why are you like really like, I guess just because like media outlets were saying a game director got laid off or whatever. Yes. And so they wanted to clarify, like, you know, but I mean, like, the heavy-handed response was weird. The normal, like, corporate vernacular of it was a hard decision or whatever, like, didn't really seem like as ornate and as elaborate as it usually is, right? Like, I mean, like, oh, this was the last resort or whatever. And this also comes on the, like, heels of Marvel Rivals doing really well, right? So all of that, of course. I found to be kind of confusing. Looking more into it, I think it was Forbes did an initial report on it, and then I think Business Insider, or wait, no, I think it was Bloomberg, actually, did a report like saying that NetEase apparently is just in the market right now of like kind of centralizing all their game development to just specifically their Chinese development wings. And so like that means like divesting all their like foreign branches, especially in like the West. And I'm assuming that means like most of their games are just going to be like primarily controlled directly from China, which is interesting, but also with the ongoing, I don't know, like tension in global affairs.
How do you want to word that? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
The ongoing tension in global affairs with China and Western
civilization. The political climate that works with the current climate.
Yeah. I guess that kind of makes sense. I don't know. It's weird
Doesn't it also just make sense to just do it all in-house? In-house by in-country? Like, doesn't that kind of make sense? Well, I get it. Like,
yes and no, though, because, like, you do want, like, this is why most businesses actually do have arms in various other countries, is because that way they, like, are on the ground with, like, cultural issues or, like, communication. They can streamline a lot of that with, like, foreign, like, companies as well, in terms of, like, any kind of interfacing they need to do with, like, government or, like, you know, other companies there that like are helping support, you know, like one of the other things that stuck out to me in like NetEase's statement was, don't worry, West, this is paraphrasing. They didn't say this directly verbatim. Okay.
You won't find this on Red Note. It's probably translated anyway.
So. Yeah. But essentially what they said was, don't worry, Western audience. We still talk to Marvel once a week. So we'll still be able to like relate to you guys. And it's like, that's, you know, like that doesn't seem like enough for like you to like really stay connected to your Western audiences, you know, like for a global game. And also right after all the snafu of like stuff being shut down because of the TikTok ban and everything. I don't know. It just all feels weird. You know, it all feels weird. But
I mean, on the flip side of that, it feels weird, but like I feel like it's a really saying that it feels weird, or like a once a week phone call with Marvel isn't enough to stay connected with your Western audience, feels super Western centric to me. You know, like our Western games are huge all over, and you know, it doesn't, they're primarily run in Western studios and such, right? And I understand that that's different than like totally cutting all of your workers from that area, but I don't know. I don't find it to be particularly weird or particularly crazy. That's how we've run things for a long time with different, you know, American-based game stuff.
Most American game studios, though, have, like, studios or, like, various, like, branches in those countries in which they distribute their games. Like, Xbox has Xbox Japan. Xbox has Xbox UK. You know, like, they have all that stuff. Like, so
right, that's, but NetEase is a game developer,
right? But like again, like big. Same with Ubisoft. Ubisoft has like a North America wing. They have like every region that they release their games in. They have branches. Granted, Ubisoft isn't doing the best right now, but
right, sure. But what about if things are not going well and all that stuff? I don't know. I think it, like, that point of view is kind of, it seems a little bit much. It doesn't, I don't think it's that big of a thing that they did that. More, I understand people feeling bad that game developers, especially like American game developers specifically, are losing their jobs. But as far as like them being like, well, we're not investing in those areas and we're just going to pull back and run everything out of China, I mean, there's going to be benefits to that as well. Right? Like, as far as like communication and all of that kind of stuff, and being on the same time and doing all of those kinds of things, like running an operation internet, it's hard enough to run this podcast across three separate time zones. Two of them are in the same continental country, right? Let alone trying to do game development and do all that with such a huge difference and all of those things. I don't necessarily think it's crazy. I mean, it's not great. It is a bummer for sure. I'm also, I talked about it off podcast. I play Marvel Rivals on my Steam Deck, and the last update has basically broken the game, that there's like a little hiccup every like 20 or so seconds. So I can't play. It's not well optimized. I'm not the only one having this issue. Also, not only on the Steam Deck, but like the PC version in general isn't as well optimized as it was. So I'm hoping there will be an update that will fix it. So since they've introduced the new characters, the biggest bummer, since they've introduced Johnny Storm and the Thing, I can't play it. Unless I boot my 12-year-old off the Xbox and I play it on there. But I don't know. It's an interesting move for sure.
I feel like this doesn't get reported very often. Like, it was only six people in the U.S. support studio in Seattle.
Right.
Like, I mean, right. Like, it sucks for those six people. But, like, in terms of, like, layoffs, not to compare one to another, like, you know.
But it's not, like, 800 people.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, a support studio that only has six people obviously, like, isn't necessarily doing the most, like.
Right.
Necessary, like, work. But I think it's still good to, when you deliver a global smash hit, to have connections in those various other areas where your game is, like, actually, you know, being delivered.
But let me clarify here, because you're saying to have connections. Mm-hmm. This doesn't mean NetEase doesn't have connections. It means they don't have employees, or right. at least, like, long-standing right. employees that aren't, like, contractually based. That's not the same thing as having a connection.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, in this case, I mean specifically, like, developers in those particular countries. Because developers who know your game can also, like, kind of give feedback on how it's being played in certain regions, too. And looking at the data sure. won't always communicate that. Like, I mean...
Sure, there's a degree of yeah. it, but, like, I guess I say, as far as a Western-centric perspective, if Microsoft announced that they were closing Microsoft China, right, their Chinese branch, like, I feel like people wouldn't be freaking out about, like, what about...
People freaked out pretty big when Blizzard China closed. It was actually a huge deal.
Well, that's the example I'm giving. Well, but people there freaked out. But like,
no, people in the U.S. freaked out too.
Like, I heard much about it.
It was a huge deal. It was pretty.
When did it happen?
Yeah, that was like years ago, though.
Right. So I'm bringing up. It was global news. I didn't hear about it. I didn't hear anything about it. That happened on. It happened last year. Our podcast was running when it happened. It did not come up on the podcast. No. It happened 2 years ago, 2023. It's 2025 now. That's right.
Yeah. Well, that was the most recent thing. Like, that wasn't the, like, when they were actually banned from China for a while, too, and NetEase had to handle, like, distribution or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing, like, that here. Look at that. Yeah. NetEase did all of that. All of that to say, I don't think it's as big of a thing as people make it. Like you said, six developers, all of that. I don't know that it is as big of, like, a cultural, like, cross-cultural experience kind of thing, or experience, like, helping stone that you bring up, though. Like, to have six employees, you know, in that country kind of a deal. I just don't know. I don't know that I buy into all of that. I feel like that's just kind of...
That's fair. Meh. That's fair. And, like, time will tell, right? But my biggest problem with, like, NetEase is that they also haven't operated a game like this before on such a global level.
That's true. They're primarily mobile gamer, or a mobile game studio. But what did you want to talk about? What was your thing you want to bring up? What? Microsoft AI? What? What is it? Wait, what's it called? Isn't it called... is it just called Assistant? No.
So Xbox unleashed announced a new initiative called Muse, a generative AI model for gameplay.
Or gameplay?
What does that even
mean?
One of the things that they mentioned was, like, essentially using it to have the game respond to player actions. One of the other things, they're kind of vague in all of this. One of the other things is using it to make games more playable on, like, multiple platforms, and using AI to kind of scale that no matter what platform you're on, which I could see potentially that helping, maybe. I feel like if you don't have, like, a lot of technical, like, I don't know, support on that could go very bad, but we'll see.
I'm looking at it here. I have no idea what it, no. So this is the first question we're going to ask. can this be used to make Sea of Thieves, but with airships? That's it. That's what I want to know. Can I make my dream a reality with this thing? Wait, what?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that I think that like we don't really talk about with AI that much is that how easily it can reskin things into different genres or whatever, you know, like you take the same picture and like, you know, make it into like different art styles or whatever. And you could talk about the ethics of that and whether that's like stealing like those art styles or not. I think we've kind of come down like kind of ambivalent towards that, where like it could be seen either way, depending on how it's done. But that essentially
am I stealing from like Taylor Swift or Pacabo when I play like a 1-5-6-4 chord progression?
Right. Exactly. Know? Yeah.
Or is it okay for me to do it because I'm a human anyway?
Or like specifically with art and like, you know, worms. Every single genre of art has been like invented by somebody and then we just iterate on it. Right. Like, and as long as things are iterated on, is it really like stealing necessarily? It's an interesting question. I think that there's
they don't call it stealing. They call it reference. Referencing.
Yeah, I think it comes down to like the method used kind of in a lot of ways. And that gets very specific and very nuanced. And that makes it a very difficult conversation to have. But so right now, it seems like Xbox is all in on AI, which we already knew, right? Microsoft being all in on AI.
Everybody's all in on it, right? Yeah. Like everyone's trying to do it.
Microsoft specifically, like, almost purchased OpenAI, right? And now they're just partnering with them very strongly. But, like, so these are... generative AI is interesting because you could use it in a lot of different ways, I feel like. I could see like, and essentially we kind of already have like a rudimentary version of this and just like AI characters, you know, responding like in Destiny to like wherever you pull out a bow or whatever, you know, and like all that. For the game to actually change based on your actions seems like a really cool idea. It's just how much is this going to take away from like people being able to like put soul into things, right? And to like actually like put creative like vision into things, because that's the negative of this that everyone's complaining about right now, because this is what they do when they hear the words or letters AI is they're like, oh, well, this is obviously it's going to take jobs away, which it could. It very well could. AI will probably inevitably take a lot of jobs away just as a natural progression of technology, you know? But then also, will it take the soul away from creative projects? And like, that's a more complex and like interesting question that like, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I mean, when it comes down to it, I think that there's a way to use AI without losing that creative vision, like that human touch, you know? And I'm curious whether Microsoft can figure that out.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, as far as like losing the soul of something or all of that, I heard this really interesting point of view, and this is based on like music production of like, why is it like bringing up like, why is it that all like music is sounds so similar nowadays? And one of the things that the guy talked about was like, you know, using these sample libraries or using these plugins that we're all using the same plugins. And so he talked about how, like, you know, this is just a funny thing, but like no two guitars, like actual guitar musical instruments, sound the same, right? Because it has to do with like, you know, how recently the strings were changed and like the resonance of the wood of that specific tree that they were made from and all of that kind of, which, you know, is affected by the weather and all of that kind of stuff, right? And then he also talked about how, you know, when you would then plug in this guitar, for a while, you know, you weren't necessarily doing direct in, but you were actually like miking amplifiers. And then where you place the microphone in the way that the sound travels through the air and how each individual microphone also is like, they're not exact and perfect, right? We've talked about that even here. You switch mics, you sound like a different person, right?
Right. Yeah.
And how there was a time that like all of those different factors really made things sound different, but like, if we're all using the same, you know, stuff, if we're all using the same plugins, we're all using, it's all digital now, it starts to sound similar. And he's like, it's like we're all using the same guitar, or we, or there's only one snare, right, that we're all passing around. There's one snare, and then, okay, now that I'm done using it, I'm going to give it to you, and you can use it in your project. And I found that super interesting, and it made me want to try out some other things of like how I record and do my music in a way to give it a little more character. So there's also plugins that you can buy to help with this specific sort of thing, right? So like you have such a pure, you know, signal, and then it's like, okay, now we actually have plugins to make it sound crappier, to give it a little more character. But then some of those become popular. So like I could tell you when certain like lo-fi plugins, like they have a specific sound, and it's like, oh yeah, that's RC20. You know, and that kind of thing. And so using AI to be like, is it going to lose the human touch? I mean, any tool that gets used on a mass thing, there is going to be like a level of uniformity. But like, it's the same thing we talked about of like everything being on Unreal Engine, right? Like things are going to start to look, because it's all in there, it's going to look similar to other things in there. That's just the way it works. And there's going to be some uniformity to it. But as far as like the human touch, I don't know. I mean, like you said, it'll have to shake out and see, but I'm not particularly worried about that, because with new tools, you know, there's going to be more people able to do something with it, which through that, there's going to be more creativity and maybe more kinds of games than we're even used to. Right. So maybe, I hope we'll see.
I mean, I think that there can be a such thing as like going too far, though. Like, for instance, like I watched a Star Wars short on Twitter that was like a 10-minute video that was all made all with AI. And it was a fan fiction thing. And like it was the most like literally, I can't think of a better descriptor than soulless when it came down to it.
What, like, what it do just, you mean it was made all with AI, like the visuals or like everything, like the writing, like, and the voices?
Everything, and everything except for the writing was done by one person. But also, like, I mean, like the way that like the AI characters voiced the lines and everything, like, was just like super monotonous or whatever. I don't know if it would have been different if they, if AI was better at like recognizing emotion, like inherently, but like it's not right now, you know.
I mean, this sounds bad, but maybe it would have been better if the one person at the helm of it was better also, like the person who made it.
See, normally I would have thought that, and the writing wasn't the best, but like with the way that it was executed, even if the lines had been like particularly well written, I don't think that would have changed the thing. Like, even if the plot had been like a really good, like Westworld level Jonathan Nolan plot, I still think that I would have found the entire exercise like kind of just lacking, you know.
But I guess my question with that would be, what did you go into watching it blind, or did you know? Yes,
I went into watching it blind.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just felt like it was just meh?
Like worse than meh, actually. Like actually like kind of harmful in terms of like, I don't want my media to be like this ever, you know? Like interesting. Like bad, you know? But like I could see a world where over-reliance on, and this is true with any technological like thing ever, right, is where over-reliance can become like a negative thing.
Right.
And so I do worry about that, because I think with AI, with how easy it is to like, easy I say in quotes, I guess, because it's still somewhat challenging to like figure out the right prompt or whatever, you know, or to like figure out the language to use to like essentially like get it to work the way that you want it to.
Right.
Like any tool. But yeah, like, I don't know. That is a concern of mine, that like essentially like something moving this quick and released to this many people or whatever, like, with this much access to it, could potentially become a bad thing. But again, like, I don't necessarily think it's inherently going to be destructive to art overall. Like, I just think that, like,
would it become a bad thing? Or would it just be that, like, people still wouldn't want to watch that? You know what I mean? Of, like, it, sure. So the market gets flooded with bad AI voice acting and bad AI visuals and bad AI writing. It's just going to highlight things that are done better. Right. I mean, we already have that.
Well,
we have
it will, YouTube. But like But when it comes down to like qualities can still get drowned out with noise. Unfortunately, it happens.
It happens most of the time. But hold on, going on with that of like, well, is it the person? But I'm bringing up like as the person, the producer who made the video, even if they're using AI tools, it's still the person, the human behind this whole idea is the one who is like, I am satisfied with this voice line, right? The performance that the AI gave on this voice line, I'm okay with it. I'm just going to put it in, right?
Right.
I'm satisfied with this AI visual.
Yeah. And there's something to be said for the artistic director vision. Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah. So to me, it's more of a comment, again, on the person who made the video, not the AI tools, right? That just sounds like someone just wanted to do it and they were satisfied with a bad job. That doesn't sound like, you know, necessarily. And as far as soulless, I totally hear where you're coming from, but it's like that's what it is to me as someone who makes those things, right? Is it's like, okay, do I want to settle for this or do I want something more? And as someone who, so I've done so many visual art commissions. So before I worked with Chiho, a Cheeky Art, who does all of my visual stuff now, I worked with, oh God, how many, like maybe 8 different artists that I commissioned for artworks and different things. And let me tell you, working with the worst one, as far as communication and like everything, like my worst experience working with a human was better than my best experience working with like generative AI images. If I had any kind of creative vision, right? If I was okay with saying, give me a picture of a dog, right? And it's some random dog, and that it's like it doesn't need to be a big deal. That's fine. But every time I've like approached, I need an image and I kind of have a creative vision, working with AI has honestly been way worse than working with any people of like trying to get it to alter images and do like that kind of stuff as far as what it's given me. And all this, not to say to defend the AI tools, because I think like what you said about it sounding soulless, I mean, honestly, I want to watch it after we finish this episode. I totally hear that. But then, like, I listened to an album made by someone I met, and I really enjoyed it, to be honest with you. And then I found out the whole album was made just via, like, an AI generating music. And then it's like, you know, they tried to pull, like, that switch on me, right? Like, oh, wow, you liked that? That's AI music. And I was like, yeah, I guess it's AI music, but in the end, you were the one who still like prompted it and like okayed it. Like I've heard good and bad, right? And so maybe, so for me, for example, talking about this with you now of this game developing AI, could we make the game that you and I have been talking about? How many years have we been discussing this game, D?
Right. Yeah.
Of Sea of Thieves. When was Sea of Thieves released?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Dresden Files game, but also Sea of Thieves, yeah.
Sea of Thieves, that came out in 2018.
Yeah.
7 years ago. So probably for like 5 years, we've been discussing this. We could maybe make it.
Right.
You and me, without any of these tools. That would be really cool.
That's the crazy thing, too. Like, because that's with every technology thing, you definitely like things become more accessible, right? And like theoretically that also like plants the foundation for you to do more and more extreme things with it, right? Like a AAA studio game now with hundreds of people is insane compared to the scope of what it was like 20 years ago, you know? Whereas a single person endeavor like now actually looks like a AAA game like 20, 30 years ago, you know? And that's
it could
really cool.
Yeah, I mean,
and overall, I'm a fan of that. But like, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, like that kind of thing, yeah.
But also flipping back, because I do agree with you, like, so they talk about every day on Spotify, more music is released than like was released in like an entire year in the 80s.
Right.
Every day, new music. And most, like you said, getting lost in the noise, right? Yeah. Like it's just too much and it's hard to support. And also like I would agree that the average quality of it goes down, right? Yeah. Because there's so much out there of varying qualities. That's all valid and true, but I don't know, man. Sea of Thieves with airships. I keep coming back to it because honestly, I think about it way too much. Sea of Thieves with airships.
It's a really cool idea.
Inspired by Jim Butcher's series The Cinder Spire I was thinking series?
The other day, like, I have a particular, I think I was looking this up and I can't find a single other iteration of it, like, done the way that I think I would do it, but like making an actually good chess game, you know? I'm pretty sure that I have a like relatively unique idea that no one's messed with before. And so I'm not going to please like, you me, know,
it's just the it's just the chess game in like the Harry Potter movie. You know what I'm talking about?
But know, it, like, I mean, like, yeah, but like it's cool to think that like even I with like no real coding background or whatever could potentially like maybe mess around enough to be able to like get to the level where I could make this thing on my own as opposed to needing to like hire like a team of people or whatever. But then are those jobs lost or were they never existed in the first place? You know, like, I mean, that's
see that we discussed that of like, I, yeah. I'm not sure if I talked about that on this podcast, but I was like, the people who would use this would not have hired someone in the first place. Right.
Sure.
Like, I,
yeah.
And you could say that, like, well, what about like Disney using it and stuff like that? What about that? It's like, okay, that's different. But, like, in my experience, the people who have used those kinds of things, they did not have the budget and were not going to hire an artist to begin with. Right. Like, they were going to try and do it themselves no matter what. And yeah, man. Ugh.
Yeah.
That's wild. How does it work? Are you going to get it? What's it called? Muse.
They just say, you know, pay attention, keep your eye out, because we'll be continuing to work on this.
Interesting. It says, yeah, you can try it for free on the website. So D, I think you know, Anav is gonna have Anav Gaming pretty soon, right? Anav Gaming Studios. It's sure. it's just you, me, and Craig.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you have anything you want to say before we wrap up this episode? We talked a lot about kind of heavy, sad things this time, you know, talked about layoffs and AI and all of that. Do you have any good news from last week?
Avowed is still very good. That's all I got, though.
There you go. You heard it here first, guys. Avowed is still good. I have a new video out on the Fox and the Girl channel. If you guys want to go check that out over on YouTube. And y'all know what to do. Go ahead and do all the things. All right, see you guys next week. Bye.
Get out of here, Craig.